Lord God, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus so that the guessing could stop about what you're like. Please give us confidence and certainty that through Christ we can know you as you truly are. Amen. John chapter 1 is very good news because we see wonderfully that Jesus makes God known. Glance down, please, with me at verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Christmas is God making himself clear, because Jesus makes God known. Now God the Father is spirit, and as such, no one can see him. No one has ever seen God the Father. Some Old Testament prophets saw the back of his glory as he passed by. And so, up until that point, our sympathy has to be with our friends who perhaps just want to be a bit uncertain, a bit not sure about God. But then Jesus comes and makes himself clear, makes God the Father clear. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. God, the Father, wanting to be clear, didn't send a spokesperson, didn't send a letter, didn't send a text message or a nice picture. He sent his one and only Son, who is at the Father's side, is how our version has it. The older versions of the Bible have, who is in the bosom of the Father. I don't know what you make of that, but I quite like it. I like the idea of the closeness of the relationship that the Son enjoys with the Father. More modern translations say, who is in the very closest possible relationship. And so from that very closest possible relationship, God the Son comes to show us what the Father is like. I think that should cause us two moments just to stop and think, well, firstly, how encouraging. And secondly, wow. How encouraging. And secondly, wow. Here's the encouragement. You see, Jesus knows exactly what God is like. He's always enjoyed that relationship. He's always been in the bosom of the Father. He knows what God is like, what God doesn't like. And so he can perfectly make God known. Sorry to go on about it, but Donald Trump. No one's got a clue what's going on with the chap, have they? There's not a morning when I don't turn on the radio and there's some pundit who is being presumably paid by the BBC to say, well, I just don't know, really. He says one thing and does the next. I mean, on his past performance, we don't know what'll happen. That's broadly, as far as I can tell, seems to be the best guess of educated people whose job it is to try and work out what he might do. Jesus doesn't need to say, well, looking at what God said in the past and taking everything in the round and my extensive experience of being, you know, sort of a close observer of God, I'd have to say that probably, on balance, he's pro-forgiveness. Or, taking, you know, what we've seen before, he's, you know, he's less than positive about adultery. That's not the kind of relationship God, that's not kind of the kind of relationship God the Son, Jesus, has with God the Father. Because Jesus has been in the closest possible relationship with his Father, he knows exactly what his Father thinks and feels and acts. And so he is uniquely and wonderfully able to make God known. That's the encouragement. But here's the source of wow about that. Because it's quite a big thing to give up that kind of relationship, isn't it? Distance from someone who we love hurts us. It even hurts blokes. Probably shouldn't admit that, but husbands are delighted, well, this husband is particularly delighted, when their wives come back from a weekend away. Mums are pleased to see their children when they return from a school trip. Jesus gives up the closest possible relationship with his Father to make God known. He gives up the love and the joy and the intimacy of this extraordinary relationship because he loves us. Listen to how See Amid the Winter Snow puts it. Sacred infant, all divine, what a tender love was thine. Thus to come from highest bliss down to such a world as this. Down to such a world as this. Babies don't normally get a choice in when they're born, in where they're born. Sadly, if sometimes even if they're born. But this one does. The Lord Jesus chose exactly when and where he would be born, to whom he would be born. And he chose this earth, and he chose his people. And that should cause us to stop and say, wow, because he was leaving behind really quite a big deal. He was leaving behind the closest possible relationship with God the Father. I mean, Hailsham's very pleasant, and I've never been to Bethlehem. But down to such a world as this, separated, according to his human nature, from his Father, to live amongst people who would reject him and betray him, down to such a world as this. Why? Because he loves his Father and he loves his people. Wow. I hope if you're a Christian, that makes you feel loved this morning. I hope it makes you think, wow. Jesus makes God known. And that was costly for him. Even before it came to the cross, that was costly for him. I hope you want to wonder at and praise our Heavenly Father. So if Jesus makes God known, here's the obvious question. Do you know him? It's a question, I think, that's asked earlier on in our passage. But it's worth me stating, even if it is a bit obvious, I think, because there's a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. I know about the Duke of Cambridge. I feel quite smug about the amount of hair I have in comparison to the Duke of Cambridge. But I don't know him. I couldn't be in touch with him, ring him up and say, "Dear Duke of Cambridge, how are things? I'm not on his Christmas card list." We don't wave at each other as we walk past one another in the street. So it's a good question to ask. If Jesus makes God known, do I know him? How do I know him? How could I know him? Let me read verses 11 and 12. He, that's Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received in him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I ask the question, do you know him? Because those verses and the one preceding it, verse 10, tell us that our default position is to not know Jesus Christ. I think probably most of us think, well, but, you know, I was born in this country. I tick the C of E box, because that's what you do if you're ever asked, don't you? You sort of, yeah, been inside a church, C of E, tick. Therefore, I know Jesus. No, you might know about him, but ticking the C of E box doesn't mean you know him. John tells us that there are two diagnostic questions to find out whether I actually know Jesus, the one who makes God known. Verse 10, do you recognize him? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Do you see Jesus as he truly is, the uncreated creator of everything? That's what verse 2 tells us. Just glance down at that. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Everything exists because of Jesus. People, pigeons, planets, all made by Jesus. He really is the Lord. He's the creator God. And that's important because it means he's in charge. Sometimes in a hymn we sing, he's the author of creation. George R.R. Martin, does that name mean anything to you? He's the author of the books upon which Game of Thrones is based. Now, I've not seen Game of Thrones, but the one thing I know about Game of Thrones, it's a telly program, is that he's not afraid to kill off his central characters, and it causes a bit of a stir. People get upset, oh, I really like that character, and you've just bumped him off. And this is what he says. He said, I'm the author. They're my characters. I do what I like with them. Do you recognize Jesus as being the author, being in charge of everything? Do you recognize Jesus as being the Lord, rightfully in charge of your life? That's the first question to check. Do I know Jesus, the one who makes God known? And here's the second. Have I received him? Verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus makes God known, and he comes as a gift to everyone. But like any gift, you have to receive it. We have to receive Jesus. We could learn a lot from children on this front, I think. Children are gift experts, aren't they? I mean, when it comes to receiving them. If a child was at all involved in your Christmas, tell me afterwards if this isn't true. By 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, the children in the house knew the size, shape, weight, and number of gifts that were under that tree that belonged to them. That's true, isn't it? Now roll the clock forward 24 hours, 6 p.m. Christmas afternoon, evening. Were there any presents left under the tree that had a child's name on it? Were there any? If there were, I admire your parenting. These gifts have been lovingly put under the tree by uncles and aunts and grandparents and you, but they hadn't been received yet, had they? They were just there under the tree. Come Christmas Day morning, my word, there's a lot of receiving going on. There's paper flying everywhere, and there's excited whooping, and there's putting in of batteries, and there's shaking, and there's playing, and there's rushing off to rooms, if you're very lucky, to play with them there. Children receive gifts. It's what they do. So have we received Jesus? Have we taken the wrapping off God's great gift to his people? We can't just leave it under the tree and think, well, I'll get round to that later when I'm a bit older. Before I die, I'll have time to look into it and I'll receive Jesus then. Take a leaf out of your children's book or your grandchildren's book and learn how to receive this gift. Jesus is no good to us until we've received him. And when we receive him, well, that changes everything. Verse 12, that changes absolutely everything. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We become, as David put it last week, the king's kids. We become royalty. We become part of a family never to be turned away, never to be disowned, never to be shut out. I feel I'm about to launch into David's excellent sermon of last week, so I'll try and restrain myself. It changes everything. Do go and listen online to it if you didn't. How do you receive Jesus? Verse 12 again. To those who believed in his name. We need to believe that Jesus is who the Bible shows him to be, the uncreated creator. And we need to admit we haven't treated him like that, although we should have done. The author of creation, we've ignored. We haven't sought to honor, rather we've sought to honor ourselves. And we need to say sorry for that. It isn't hard to do, but it does turn our lives upside down because we become part of a new family. Jesus makes God known. Do you know him? It's quite simply the most important question any human could answer. It isn't enough, as we've said, to know about Jesus. It isn't enough to know someone who knows about Jesus. Because only Jesus makes God known, we must know Jesus. And suddenly, in the light of John chapter 1, those humble comments of, oh, I'm just not sure what God is like, and I just can't find him, and I still don't be able to seem really to know. Well, all of that just becomes a bit less wise and humble and gentle, and a bit more like they're ignoring Jesus. I'm not in any position after Jesus is coming to say, I like to think of God as a bit like this. Or I imagine that God would actually be much more like that. No, Jesus makes God known. And I don't need to imagine God at all. I need to look at him. So the question we're left with is, what would it take for you to believe in God? Because Jesus makes God known. Let me pray. Just a moment for us to collect our thoughts and think about an appropriate response. No one has seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. All praise and glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for making God the Father known to us in a way that we can ignore, but we can't say is not clear. We can't say is too far, too difficult for us to see. Give us the integrity, please, to look hard at you, Lord Jesus, and receive the revelation of your great and good Father. Amen.